In the shadows, a match flared. Vimes cupped his hands around the flame, sucked on the foul tobacco, tossed the match into the gutter and slouched off down the damp, puddle-punctuated alley. If there was anything that depressed him more than his own cynicism, it was that, quite often, it still wasn't as cynical as real life. "We've got along with the other guys for centuries," he thought. "Getting along has practically been all our foreign policy. And now I think I've just heard us declare war on an ancient civilization that we've always got along with, more or less, even if they do talk funny. And after that, the world. What's worse, we'll probably win." Similar thoughts, although with a different perspective, were going through the minds of the civic leaders of Ankh-Morpork, when, next morning, each received a short note bidding them to be at the palace for a working lunch, by order. It didn't say by whose order, or, they noted, whose lunch. Now they were assembled in the antechamber. And there had been changes. It had never been what you might call a select place. The patrician had always felt that if you made people comfortable, they might want to stay. The furniture had been a few very elderly chairs, and around the walls portraits of earlier city rulers holding scrolls and things. The chairs were still there, the portraits were not. Or rather, the stained and cracked canvases were piled in a corner, but the gilt frames were gone. The councillors tried to avoid one another's faces and sat tapping their fingers on their knees. Finally, a couple of very worried-looking servants opened the doors to the main hall. Lupine once lurched through. Most of the councillors had been up all night anyway, trying to formulate some kind of policy vis-à-vis dragons. But once looked as though he hadn't been to sleep in years. His face was the colour of a fermented dishcloth. Never particularly well padded, he now looked like something out of a pyramid.
"Ah," he intoned, "good. Are you all here? Then perhaps you would step this way, gentlemen?"
"Ah," said the head thief, "the note mentioned lunch."
"Yes," said Wants.
"With a dragon."
"Good grief, you don't think it would eat you, do you?" said Wants. "What an idea."
"Never crossed me mind," said the head thief, relief blowing from his ears like steam. "The very idea."
said the chief merchant. "Ho, ho, 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 ho," said the head assassin. "The very idea." "No, I expect you're all far too stringy," said Wants. "Ha, ha, 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 ho, ho, ho."
The temperature lowered by several degrees.
"So if you would kindly step this way."
The great hall had changed. For one thing, it was a great deal greater. Several walls had been knocked into adjoining rooms, and the ceiling and several stories of upper rooms had been entirely removed. The floor was a mass of rubble, except in the middle of the room, which was a heap of gold. Well, gold-ish. It looked as though someone had scoured the palace for anything that shone or glittered. There were the picture frames and the gold thread out of the tapestries, and silver and the occasional gem. There were also tureens from the kitchens, candlesticks, warming pans, fragments of mirror, sparkly stuff. The councillors were not in a position to pay much attention to this, however, because of what was hanging above their heads. It looked like the biggest badly rolled cigar in the universe, if the biggest badly rolled cigar in the universe was in the habit of hanging upside down. Two talons could dimly be seen gripping the dark rafters. Halfway between the glittering heap and the doorway, a small table had been laid. The councillors noted without much surprise that the familiar ancient silverware was missing. There were china plates and cutlery that looked as though it had very recently been whittled from bits of wood. Wants took a seat at the head of the table and nodded to the servants.
"Please be seated, gentlemen," he said. "I am sorry, things are a little different, but the king hopes you will bear with it until matters can be more suitably organized."
The said the head merchant.
"The king," repeated Wants.
His voice sounded one dribble away from madness.
"Oh, the king, right," said the merchant.
From where he was sitting, he had a good view of the big hanging thing. There seemed to be some movement there, some trembling in the great folds that wrapped it.
"Long life to him, say I,"
he added quickly. The first course was soup with dumplings in it. Wants didn't have any. The rest of them ate in a terrified silence, broken only by the dull chiming of wood on china. There are certain matters of decree to which the king feels your assent would be welcome, said Once, eventually. A pure formality, of course, and I'm sorry to bother you with such petty detail. The big bundle appeared to sway in the breeze.